Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Come on. Hey, how many were here last week? Okay, on last weekend we shared the stage speaking wise with a couple of students from our School of Ministry, and it was stinking amazing. Yes. Yeah, it really was. It was not actually enjoyable to follow them in attempting to speak after them, because they really were. They carried some awesome stuff. And we are going to follow suit this week. And actually, we have two more students lined up. One to speak tonight to open us up. And then I'll be following their message and then tomorrow morning as well. So it's going to be a powerful night. I hope you're ready for it. Okay, so this student that I get to introduce tonight is a powerhouse. They really are, okay? So she doesn't actually know this, but I follow her on Facebook because she does this basically like sermon of the day type word where she preaches to her phone. And did you know that? No? Well, there you go. Because when she preaches to her phone, she totally is carrying the word of the Lord and is speaking encouragement and strengthening people. It's awesome. And anyway, one of the first days of school, Lisa Dahlberg came up to me and said, "I just want you to know I'm going to be preaching from your pulpit one day." She did. She would tell that story a little differently, but it's okay. She was bold, and she said, "That's mine. I'm going to do that someday." And so tonight is her night. So we're gonna bring up here in a moment. And what I want you to do is I want you to turn your hearts on and honor. You know that this place has got has freedom. And we're hungry after the word of the Lord, and we want impact. And when we have honor for people who are sharing, then impact happens in our lives. Amen. So turn up your honor, get ready, buckle up, Buttercup, and would you please help me welcome Lisa Dahlberg to the stage.
Awesome. Hi, guys. I'm Lisa. I have been coming to this church for a short amount of time, maybe like a year and a half, and I can't even begin to tell you how much I feel at home here, and I hope all of you guys experience that same thing every time you come, and hopefully tonight through these words. I didn't expect the Lord to give me a vision during worship. He speaks to me in visions. I'm just a visual person. I'm a hairdresser. So I see things and I grab it, and he just showed me. Not that I'm much of a green thumb or anything. I'm actually beginning. I own two succulents, by the way, thanks to Esther. I'm working on it, but hopefully this comes out a little bit more intellectual in the green thumb world. So the Lord showed me just a pot of dirt with a seed in it, and this was the winter season. The seed was sitting in there, and tonight, and in this new season, because it's spring, it's also internally a shift, and he's actually picking up that dirt and putting it into a bigger pot, because we're going to need some room for the things he's going to do. And I believe that tonight, hold on, there's more. I believe that tonight, I'm loving this flower, Ilya. Good job on that flower. Can we just clap for that? I believe tonight, just through what he's doing in this room, that he's going to bloom us. And I don't think it's going to take much work, because I think we've already done the work. And he's moving us into the new pot, and all we have to do is say, "I'm willing to move." So we're going to talk tonight not just about him doing a new thing, but specifically, it takes a little work on our part, too. It's a relationship. He doesn't do all of it. We do have to take a step. So I'm going to talk to you guys specifically on creating space for him to do that new thing. Would you guys join me in prayer? Lord, thank you that this is your house. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room, all of the leaders and the church and this congregation, that we get to be a family and that we carry something so awesome because Pastor Jamie and Nicole said yes to you so many years ago, Lord. And I just thank you that we get to see the fruit of that tonight in a cool way. So would you speak to hearts and open them up in Jesus' name? Amen. So I mentioned a little bit about myself, that I'm a hairstylist. I had a 26th birthday about 2 weeks ago, which was awesome. They get a little less awesome, but I try to make them awesome. You just invite a bunch of people. And I want to let you guys know I'm going to Brazil. I'm in this in like 6 days. So we're doing a little outreach. I'm in the second year school of ministry. And guys, it's been an honor. If you are thinking about doing the school, don't hesitate, because I was scared to do it, and he just rocked my world. It's because of the school of ministry that he's fulfilling his promise, and I get to speak tonight. So say yes to that. It's awesome. I'm just really excited. I want to start you guys off with a little lighthearted story. If you guys know me at all, you know that I love my fashion, and I love my shoes, and I love my jeans, and thank you, Lord, for making them. There is a specific pair of jeans that I owned from Hollister and Company, which is a little unfresh, but that's okay. So I was 15, and I owned these jeans for a good, like, 3 years, and they were, like, rotten with holes. Like, I just had holes everywhere. They were pre-made. I had Sharpie signatures on them because I was emo. I was really emo. I had, like, MySpace pictures, and your bangs would be in your face, and it was just like, don't smile, stare. That was my prof pick. So I had those jeans, and there was one night where I had to say RIP to the ripped jeans. And I was sliding into a cop car, actually, at the time. I did not know the Lord, and what this cop car did to my jeans was it took the side of a rip, and I slid in, and it took the hole on a journey from the top of my thigh to the middle of my calf. And I was both physically and emotionally exposed. So I go home, I'm grounded. Thank you, Mom, you're in here tonight, you did the right thing. I'm grounded, and I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, these jeans, I can't believe they're gone, and I'm sending out pictures, and all my friends are like, oh my gosh, the jeans, like the epic pair of jeans. And I also had this moment, not only did I need a new pair of jeans, but it sunk in that I think something in my life needed to change. And I think it was time to mature. Sometimes when some things on the outside are changing, it means there's actually an internal change that needs to happen as well. And I want a real raise of hands. If anybody in here has that item that they still hold on to, that they know they need to let go of, can I just, Sunshine, will you just share one? A teddy bear. That's great. I just wanted some real evidence. Thank you. I was going to tell you to let him go, but that's just awesome. So we all have these memories, maybe even, that we hold on to of, like, glory days, or like, oh, 10 years ago when I was that size, or, you know, 5 years ago when I wasn't so tired all the time and I was actually happy to go to work. You know, we have those times, and they were really good, but I really think if they're good or bad, we have to let those times go and believe that there's something good for today. So God's just been speaking to me through this, that he's doing that new thing. And, you know, we've got to create that space for the new. If you guys were here on Sunday, Pastor Jamie was speaking on the current place we're in. And when God speaks a word, it creates a bridge to get to the thing that he's doing. So we're in our current state over here. We're in this, the little pot, right? And then when he speaks, which we're actually going to have a moment where he's going to speak to every single one of you individually tonight, that we get to hear him, and he's going to activate us to take the step and to be bold to take the step towards that promise and that thing. And we all have those promises on our life and those things that he said we are, whether it's as simple as you're a son or your daughter, or you're going to speak at the house church, or you're going to be a mother, or you're going to go to the nations, or your business, whatever that is, those things are actually going to start happening in this season. So how do we create space for that change to take place? We've got to make the room. We've got to move up a jean size, maybe get a better quality pair. So how many of you know that when you get a new pair of jeans, you don't really like them that much? Because when you get a new pair, I need to raise your hand, Joe Klein. When you get a new pair, maybe some things hang over the edge a little bit. They're a little stiff, and they always tell you to buy them a size smaller because you're going to grow into them. And guess what happens after you wear them a couple of times? They stretch out, and they start to become comfortable. And eventually, you don't miss the old pair because you really like the new pair. I attest to that. And I believe tonight, some of you are wondering, what's he doing? And I believe he's stretching you and growing you. And you're going to like the new pair of jeans he has for you. So I want you guys, if you have your Bibles, to open up to Mark chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. I have a large Bible, very big. I'm just going to show you all. I love it. It's great. So, so the Lord is speaking in this. It's a parable on fasting, but we're actually not going to go down that vein. But I do want to touch on the purpose of fasting. It's actually to give up something that you want in the natural, in the flesh, to actually make room for the desires of the Spirit that will satisfy more than you even knew. So I'm going to read from verses 21 into 22, where Jesus says, "Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. See, new wine calls for new wineskins." So what are these wineskins? It sounds a little creepy, actually, because we don't use wineskins anymore. But the wineskins, the Lord's been showing me, is that it's maturity, and it's those promises. And it's the things he already holds for you. Like, we don't have to make those. We don't have to come up with them. We don't have to strive for them. He already has them. We just have to put them on. And it does take two to tango. As I mentioned earlier, he's expecting us to say yes to him. Because that's how we're going to get there. We can say no. He can tell us what to do. We can say no. That's okay. He's a really good gentleman that way. He lets us choose. See, the old wine was good. It was. It tasted good. It was awesome. That encounter that you had maybe 5 years ago when you gave your life to Jesus, or maybe it was on a missions trip and you saw blind eyes open, but maybe that was 5 years ago and you really haven't seen anything good since. And we have this saying in Christianity, it's a declaration, it's good, but we have a saying that sometimes just stays on our lips and doesn't sink into our hearts, and we say, God is good. But do we really believe in our hearts that he's good and that he actually has good wine for us to taste? And some of you are really wondering what God's doing. And you know he's growing you. I've already mentioned that. But I believe that he's already been speaking to you. Maybe throughout the last year. Maybe you felt like this winter season has lasted a little too long. And you haven't known how to get out of it. Maybe it's something in your character. It could be seen as a flaw. Maybe it's a mindset or a stronghold. Or maybe it's an emotion and a reaction we have that we feel shame for having in us and we just want it gone. And he has the new thing. And as we've been trying to navigate that, it's gotten really confusing. He's not a God of confusion. That's us. It's the enemy. And we kick him out tonight. A little kick with my toms. We kick him out. And I really believe right now we're gonna take 30 seconds. I'll let you know when that time's starting. He's gonna simplify it. He's already here. You felt him in worship. I'm hot. I'm warm. That's the Lord. Thanks for the AC, by the way. But he's gonna simplify it. So I want you guys to just close your eyes. And it's going to be silent. I just want it to be silent because that's when we hear from him. It's really hard to quiet ourselves. But you guys are actually going to get a chance to invite him in. So will you repeat after me? Say, Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside of me. And if you don't live inside of me, thanks for being all around me and for knocking on my heart tonight. And I let you have it. So, Lord, whatever is within me or in my life that needs to move, would you speak to that tonight? 30 seconds, go. You guys can keep your eyes closed. I believe he's speaking in a word or a memory or a dream you've had or in a person maybe that you need to forgive, maybe in a pain that you felt. That's him. He's bringing it to the surface. I want you guys to write it down. I encourage you that whatever he's showing you, it's from him. It's real. He's real. He's here. And if you guys aren't hearing from him right now, I also encourage you to go home and don't wait a night longer because he's doing a new thing. And grab a hold. You guys can keep your eyes closed. I'm going to pray us into the last part of the message. Lord, thank you that you make it really easy for us to step into the new thing. And thank you, Lord, that we get to be in this tango with you. And sometimes it's messy, and sometimes we slip and fall, but I just see this perfect dance partner who really knows his moves, and we can really lean into him. We can trust you. And I thank you that you're breathing on that step. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to end us with this. What if we all took that step of excellence tonight? See, there's a difference between excellence and perfectionism. Perfectionism calls for criticism on yourself, and it's self-sabotaging, and it hurts, and we're never going to be there. But excellence actually says, I know that I have better potential than what I'm living right now, and I can step into that with ease. And what if we pursued his heart instead of waiting for him to do it for us? See, there's seasons where he necessarily carries us through. But I believe in this season, he set us down and he's pushing us out and he's kind of giving us a little nice boot saying, let's go. I got something for you. We've been sitting on the couch for too long. So we don't settle for yesterday's wine. When he's handing us, in fact, it's an empty glass. Unless you just didn't taste of it. It's gone bitter now. But instead, he's got a whole endless supply of really good, fresh stuff. So let's take that step together. We're a family. We have each other to lean on. And it's a corporate vision that he's given me, even all of you online that are watching. This is involving all of us. Thank you guys for listening. And I feel so honored that I got to speak and be a mouthpiece for him. And I'm excited for what he's going to do. He's doing a new thing. Let's take that new wine.
Come on. Amen. Jesus, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you are doing a new thing. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would open our ears clearly, Lord, that we could be hearing what you're saying. God, that there would be no doubt. I pray, Father, right now that that division of doubt, God, that self-doubt, self-talk, the stuff, God, that causes us to question whether something was from you or not. Lord, I pray that all that would go by the wayside right now. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you please open up to John chapter 10? John chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 1, but we're gonna stop and concentrate on verses 4 and 5. So, truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep, but climbs in some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but they flee from him because they do not know a stranger's voice. Now, last week we spent some time talking about hearing the voice of the Lord and its importance of hearing the voice of the Lord, why it is that it's necessary for us to learn to decipher God's voice, learn for us to hear and have our hearts tuned into what he is saying, the amount of fruit that comes from our life, the cleansing of our souls, the fresh water that brings fruit out of us, that the refreshing nature of his voice that causes us to be empowered and strengthened, as well as give glory to the Father. It all comes through hearing the Lord's voice and abiding in these things. You know, and the process of hearing Jesus' voice and choosing to walk in step with him, this process of tuning our hearts in to concentrate, to listen, and to abide in the stuff that he has said, that thing lights our life up. It's what brings us life. It's what brings us eternal joy. It's what causes heaven truly to fill our hearts. Are you with me tonight? Verse 4, look at this again. When he put forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they what? They know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the stranger's voice. The word stranger here, it's actually, you know, if you grew up as a child of the 80s, we had Stranger Danger. Video series that went out. All the parents are deathly afraid of anyone they don't know, right? Don't let your child get near them. Or, come on, where are the children who grew up in the 80s? Look at that. You're sitting next to someone probably that you don't know, and you're okay. The word stranger here, it's actually an interesting picture. It means simply not family. Someone's voice that doesn't resonate with your family, someone's voice that isn't a family voice, you won't follow. The shepherd's voice has the voice of the Father in it. It has your DNA in it, your heavenly DNA. When Jesus speaks, it resonates off of who you are as a person, and it resonates off of your family name. It says that when he speaks to you, you'll follow him, and not only that, he calls you by what? Name. See, he's not just calling out any name, though. He's calling out the familiar name, the family name. Are you with me here? Your heart is grafted into a family. Everyone say family. Okay, and it is the Lord's voice that causes you to resonate with the reality of what family you are a part of. A stranger's voice you simply will not follow. You will not follow a voice that doesn't carry the DNA of your family. They simply will not follow because they do not know the stranger's voice. Now, would you keep reading with me a little bit? We're going to skip down the paragraph there, and I want to stop on verse 16. Jesus makes this statement. The people that are around him didn't understand what he was saying, and so he reiterates himself. Starting in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, not the owner of the sheep, when he sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now look at this. I have other sheep. Now look at me. Just, the Lord has other sheep other than you. There's other sheep out there other than you. There are other sheep out there. Now, Jesus was talking specifically to Jewish people. And he had to give them a wake-up call. Because the world and the world that had been had received the revelation of who the Father is, of who the Lord is, of who Yahweh is, Jesus came and showed himself, demonstrated himself to the children of Israel first. Primarily, his voice spoke to the children of Israel first. But then he gives them this wake-up call and he goes, listen, you're not the only sheep in the pasture. Now that right there is a great word for those raised in denominational church. You don't own the corner. You don't own the block. It doesn't all belong to one denominational mindset. It doesn't all belong. There is nobody who is just more right, and so we should all follow them. Okay? There are multiple, everyone say multiple. Multiple denominations, multiple ethnic groups, multiple nations, multiple language, multiple diversity in the body of Christ. And Jesus says, they're all my sheep. The picture in Revelation of before the throne at the end of the age is that every tribe, every tongue, every dialect, every nation, every people group will be represented as sheep in his flock. Are you with me here? Okay, now look at what it says. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice and become one flock with one shepherd. They will hear my voice and become one flock with one shepherd. You will not follow a stranger's voice, someone who's not in the family. You will only follow the voice of one that resonates with your family. That you go, oh, I'm a part of them. I'm a part of this family. I'm a part of this church, this people. You know, I have seven children. They are all amazing. And they are all little versions of Nicole and I. And there are days when I will have a child before me and they will be talking. And I will look at them, and in that moment, I will not see them, I will see my wife. They sound just like her. Now, she probably has the same version of the story, only opposite, where there are certain ones of our children that carry my sass. And they rarely give it to me. But when this happens, when I see, when I hear their voice resounding with their mother's voice, I go, oh, they're just like their mom. They are family. Their voice resonates. It looks, it sounds, it carries the gesture. It is the experience of family. It doesn't, you know, maybe you've had this experience where you meet somebody and you go, oh, you are so-and-so's son. Like, how'd you know? Well, you look just like them, and you move your face the same way, and you do the hand gestures the same way. You ever had this experience before? Your family. The multiple flocks become one flock because of the resonance of Jesus' voice. Okay, John 17, the high priestly prayer says that Jesus is praying that we would be one. Okay, and there is a lot of human effort done to create unity in the body of Christ. Do you know how the body of Christ becomes one? The voice. The voice. The body of Christ becomes one walks in unity, walks in union. It walks in holy union, common union, through communication from the shepherd. When Jesus speaks, it's what unites people. When Jesus speaks, it is what causes people who are normally unfamiliar with them, with each other, to become family. When Jesus speaks in your small group, it's what knits your heart together. You thought it was the hot dish dinner. It wasn't. Can I tell you, it wasn't the fact that you're having and breaking bread together and spending lots of time together. That's not actually what created family. Because you can do that with lots of people. In fact, you do that at work almost every day. You go to that break room and you have lunch with lots and lots of people. Would you call your work, the work people, family?
Bueller.
Would you refer to the people that you ate in the lunchroom with going to school through all your primary years, family? Yet you shared meals with them every single day. Friends, it isn't the things that we have been sold that create community that actually create community. The body of Christ comes together because the voice of Jesus knits us together. I have experienced church life where it is religion. And when religion is speaking, ain't nobody care about the other people sitting around them. You hear sermon after sermon, people reading the Bible. It is the word of God technically, but the word of God isn't coming out of that preacher's mouth. And there's division that exists, and there's a lack of common union, communication, because the connection that comes from the voice of Jesus is not resonating in people's hearts. No one's family, because no one is coming into union with his communication. It's the voice of Jesus. If you read John 17, I'm going to encourage you to do this on your own, because I'm not going to do it tonight. I don't want to belabor the point. I actually want us to get to it, and then we'll minister it, and we'll have a great night tonight. The reality of John 17 is, if you look at the prayer of Jesus praying that we would be one, it is all in the context of Jesus giving us the word of the Father. All of it. Says it, I think, 10 times before he prays for unity. It's all about the stewardship of his words amongst the disciples. My friends, what brings and what causes people to become family is because you're hearing Jesus' voice. It's not a small group system. It's not clever ways of getting people together. It's because the voice of the Lord is present. I'm not against small groups. We have them here. They're awesome. I'm not against cell group systems, clever ways for churches to produce ways of people getting together and connected. All of it's great. But can I tell you, if the voice of the Lord isn't there, you could be getting together weekly with people for a Bible study, and then when you actually go through a real problem in your life, they would be the last people you would call. Because you know that it's not real. Okay, repeat after me. Dang. It's the voice of the Lord. It is the vibration of his voice that causes our hearts to resonate, to come into unity with each other. We could disagree theologically, but when Jesus speaks in the room, we get on the same page. That is a good word right there. Would you look at Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. This phenomenal thing happened. The day of Pentecost comes. There have been 120 disciples who remained, who are still gathering together. It is several days after Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen from the dead, and he gave this instruction to the disciples: go and wait in Jerusalem until I send the promise, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to baptize you. And then you're going to go and you're going to be my witnesses. You are going to go and tell the world my words. And when you tell the world my words, the world is going to shake. Because it'll be my words. Because my authority will be resting on these words. The power of the Holy Spirit will endue you, will cover you, will overshadow you. You will be able to speak on my behalf, and the stuff that I did, Jesus did, you will do also. Because the Holy Spirit overshadows you, and because you speak what he's saying, and because you do what he's doing, stuff will change. 120 people are gathered in this upper room, and they're waiting, and then the day comes, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on them, and what does it do? It causes a sound. It causes a sound. The sound of heaven, like a mighty rushing wind, fills the house where they are at. And it is such to the degree that thousands of people who are gathering around the temple hear the sound and come rushing to where the disciples are. And when they come to where the disciples are, everyone is speaking a language. And that language is in the native tongues of the people that are hearing them. Many nations, many tribes, many dialects, all gathered to worship the Lord, but all of a sudden they're hearing in their language because the sound of heaven is filling the midst. And thousands of them are gathering together, and it was the sound that gathered them. It was not the commotion. It was not people falling on the ground and doing the crappy flop because the power of God fell on them. Okay, we could pray for people tonight, and the power of God could fall on you, and it doesn't mean that thousands of people in this city are going to rush to us. In fact, we've been doing charismatic Christianity for a long time, and not only do they not come flocking to the demonstration like that, often it scares people off. Often it causes weird and fraction-oriented doctrines to come forth. Weird stuff. But when it is accompanied by the voice, when it's accompanied by his voice, his sound, the sound of heaven, it awakens a generation. Now, let's get to it here. Pentecost comes. Thousands are added to the church. They're moving and shaking. God's doing a new thing amongst them. And what's funny about the passages that I'm going to read you, these are the very passages that we have built community-oriented churches around, but have very little to do with what it actually says. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There's your list. That's what you're supposed to do in church, right? That was sarcasm, by the way. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Maybe it was the signs and wonders that kept gathering them. All who had believed were together there, and they had all things in common. They began selling their property and their possessions. They were sharing them with all. Well, maybe it was the generosity. Day by day, continually, with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. That right there, that's what we built modern church off of, right there. Acts 2:42 and Acts 2:46. The models of churches that you have experienced in your lifetime were all built off of that. We have small group systems and we have large gatherings. And what it's done is it's created a network of relational connection and program-oriented experiences that compensate for the lack of the Lord's voice. Because in today's modern day, you don't actually need to hear the Lord's voice in order to improve your life. You just do steps 1 through 5 in this program, and it will equal the result that you are pursuing. When the voice of the Lord leaves religion, it becomes a system of control and a system which utilizes the energy of people to fuel itself and doesn't actually change the world. I Am I speaking truth tonight or what? Are you all right? Come on now. That is not what Jesus intended. It is not what Jesus intended. Look at, why were the people taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, finding favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding their number day by day? Look back at the start of verse 42. They were continuing and devoting themselves to what? To the apostles' teachings. The apostles had been handed Jesus' words. And they were speaking continually Jesus' words. And it caused the meals, it caused the generosity, it caused the people to lay down their own lives and throw themselves at this community of the redeemed. It was the voice of Jesus resonating within the apostles that caused the people to do anything to walk in unity with each other. My friends, it is the voice of the Lord that causes the church to be effective. It is the voice of Jesus. It is not human ingenuity. It is not better built nonprofit organizations. It's not the effort and the sweat of people working as hard as they can to try to achieve. That is not how the world changes. The world changes because the voice of its creator resonates. Do you know how simple this is? Here's how simple it is. If you will just do what Jesus is telling you to do, your world will become heaven on earth. When the church, when pastors, when we hear the voice of Jesus, and when we preach what Jesus is saying, it resonates in people, and it causes a supernatural phenomenon. It knits hearts together, and it creates community, family among us. How many in here, out of way of raising of hands, have experienced while your time here at the house where you thought, man, this feels like family? Can I tell you, it wasn't the coffee. It wasn't. It's nice atmosphere. It's good music. It's all these things that are great. It wasn't these things. It wasn't these things. It's because the people around you are resonating with his voice. They actually love Jesus. You may say to me, Pastor Jamie, I've been here a couple months and I'm not finding anybody. I'm not knowing anybody. I don't feel like this is family. I'm feeling like I'm the odd one out. You're having this experience. You know, the folks that I've had the conversations with that end up almost in a bitter state are folks that truly, in the end, something's going on where they shut down the ability to actually speak into their life. Something happened where they stopped actually listening. Something was said from the pulpit, it offended you, you shut your heart down, and then you were like, I don't know if I want to stay here anymore, because it's not because God's not here, it's because the resonating of the Lord's voice has stopped hitting your heart, and so you stop feeling like family. This happens in denominational churches all over the world, all the time. Some pastor somewhere, because we're gathered around truth and not around presence, we're gathered unto each other because we agree with one another's doctrine. When the pastor says something we disagree with, oh, I got to leave the church. Why? Because they no longer feel like it's their home. Why don't they feel like it's their home? Because they're unable to hear the voice anymore. It shut down what was actually creating family. Are you alive tonight? Now, if you're visiting the house, welcome. If you find yourself here because you have left another church and you're saying, you've said to me or to someone else, like, no, I think the house is where I'm supposed to be and whatever, I'm hearing God's voice, I'm resonating, I think this is where I'm supposed to be, this is our family, this is all that stuff, okay? If that's you, praise God. Recognize the reason why you're experiencing family. It is because you're allowing what's being said, the word of the Lord, to affect your heart, and you are not offended yet. But I guarantee you that if you stick around here long enough, I will offend you. Guarantee. Not on purpose. I'm not. Not on purpose. Because this is what happens. Because this is life. Why'd you divide that relationship with that brother? You used to walk really close with them. They were friends. You walked with them for a season. Why'd you stop walking with them? Something happened in your relationship and you stopped resonating with what one another said. See, the family voice, the stranger's voice started to sound, and you started to run away instead of. Easy step process for finding family in the body of Christ, okay? Repent. Make your heart unoffendable. Refuse to be offended by people's words. Refuse, 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 refuse. Think best about people. Assume the best about people. Intentionally choose to trust, to love, to let your guard down, to hear what people are saying, sow into one another, speak to one another, share your heart. What Jesus is speaking to you, give it to other people. Don't just hold it to yourself. My precious, don't do that. The voice of the Lord is supposed to be resonating, so share. Share what Jesus is talking to you about. Every time we come together, someone should come with a hymn, a psalm, a spiritual song, something that Jesus has been speaking to them. When you come together and you do that, you share testimonies, you talk about what Jesus is doing, it creates a life of its own. Family starts to resound. If you've ever had a small group that you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like you had a company of people that you thought, man, these are actually family. I promise you, the reason is because the Lord was speaking among you. Somewhere along the way, the Lord was speaking and it did a work of ministry in your hearts and everything changed. It's not difficult. It's a choice. If you've been offended and you've been away and your heart has been hardened towards the church and you're like, man, I don't have anything in common with the church. I don't want to have anything to do with the church. Maybe you're here by accident tonight because you had nothing better to do, or I don't know. Someone drug you into church tonight. You got invited by somebody. Listen, you don't feel like family, or you don't feel like family anymore because you're offended. Somewhere along the way, something tripped you up, and you stopped being able to resonate with other believers. You disagreed and you thought the disagreement was a point of division, and it's not. Jesus is inviting you tonight to soften your hearts once again and to allow his voice to speak. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you would hear my voice and open the door, I would come in and we would have fellowship." That verse we quote to people who haven't received Jesus over and over and over. But that verse was written to Christians. Jesus spoke that thing to a church. Jesus spoke that thing to a church. "Behold, I'm standing outside the door and I'm knocking. And if you would hear my voice and open the door, then you would have fellowship." We would become family again. If your heart is hardened towards another believer, you're embittered against somebody, why don't you go knock on their door? See if they hear your voice. Hear each other out. Forgive one another, and you'll have fellowship again. The Lord is doing a deep work right now. I believe that, just like Lisa said, that prophetic picture at the beginning, he is taking us and he's taking you out of a small pot and he's putting you in some deeper soil. But the reason why what the seed grows, the reason why the seed is able to bear fruit, the word is able to bear fruit, is because your heart isn't hardened and there isn't the rocky soil, the things that actually prevent it from being able to bear fruit. These things that we're talking about right now, these things prevent you actually from doing what God called you to do, from being fulfilled in life even. It's a case of just turning your heart, receiving him back in, letting him do his deal. Would you stand up tonight? That was a good word there, Pastor Jamie. Good job. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord tonight. Listen, a couple of things happen when you listen to Jesus' voice, okay? When you speak Jesus' voice, when you hear Jesus' voice, when you start to resonate with Jesus' voice, it either forms family or it causes division. Now, I know many of you have experienced this, where you heard the voice of the Lord, it knit your heart to somebody else. Some kind of form of ministry happened where you became family with others and you watched as people in the body of Christ have become family. That's amazing. Other people, you got on fire for Jesus, and then within even your own natural family, you started having division. The seed of the Lord, his voice, when it resonates, it draws sheep to it. But it divides between sheep and goat. It does every time. If you have experienced division in a marriage, I want to encourage you. I'm not going to preach on the subject, but I do want to reference 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It speaks right to the issue. The code of conduct and what you should be living like in your marriage if you find that division because of the Lord's voice. The rest of us, y'all, what would happen if you began to run your business off the voice of the Lord? Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. What would begin to happen if you began to train your children while they're young to hear the voice of the Lord and you guys lived by the voice of the Lord? What happens to that family? Heaven on earth. God's doing something in our lives. He wants to do something deep and powerful in and through yours. Holy Spirit, tonight I'm asking that you would cause your voice to resonate off our heartstrings. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would soften hearts and you would bring conviction. Even just as Lisa pointed out before, as we asked you, Lord, as we quieted ourselves and you spoke to issues, Lord, things that needed to change, needed to move, needed to shift. God, I thank you for that. Right now, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, you would release grace, fresh grace. God, I pray right now for the lonely at heart, that their heart would resonate with the voice of Jesus, that other like-minded and like-hearted people would find you. God, I pray that you would cause holy union within the body. God, we pray right now, Jesus, that your voice, it would resonate in this place. It would resonate off our lives. Jesus, that a generation would come forth, Lord, to live by the voice of the Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Just invite him in right now, would you? Holy Spirit, come. Behold, I'm standing at the door of your heart, Jesus is saying. If you would just hear my voice right now and open the door, invite me in. What are you afraid of? Just let him in. Let him into that situation. Let him into your business. Let him into your finances. Let him into your marriage. Let him into your parenting. Let him into your schooling, planning for your future, picking your spouse. Let his voice speak. Invite him in.
Jesus, we invite you in tonight. Lord, we open the door of our hearts tonight and we invite you in. Come on, would you repeat after me? Jesus, I open the door of my heart to you. Come in, speak to me, have fellowship with me, Jesus. Forgive me for hardening my heart. Forgive me for being offended with people. Wash me clean. Bring restoration, Jesus. Father, I'm asking right now that you would breathe afresh in this company of people, that you would do a work that only you can do, Lord, that you would produce the family of heaven in the body of Christ. Do it by your word, Jesus. I pray all these things in your mighty name, and everybody who agreed with that prayer said, amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a clap offering tonight?